What's up and welcome back to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, April 12th, 2024. Of course, I am your host, Tim Geddes. Today, I am joined by the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
Hello. I'm good.
Are you ready for a good show?
I am. I like your hoodie.
Thank you. It's No Rest for the Wicked. They sent, there's No Rest for the Wicked. I touched the wrong titty. No Rest for the Wicked. They sent it to me. I like the game. It's not out yet. Next week, early access. Mm-hmm. Will it be a contender? Find out. Andy liked it a lot and talked a lot about it in Gamescast. They got a really cool logo. Action RPG. Let's go.
Hell yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. Good. Ready for the weekend?
Yes.
Jen's birthday tomorrow.
Oh, shit. That sneaks up on you.
Yep.
That means your birthday is coming soon, too.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Wow.
Have you thought about what you're getting me, ladies and gentlemen? Have you thought about it? Because here's the problem I have with a lot of you, all right? Oh, January rolls around. Oh, I'll take out the old checkbook and support Kind of Funny then. And you do. And you hang out. And you have your Kind of Funny membership. And then what happens just 3 short months later, my birthday comes around. Buy me an OLED Steam Deck. Or say goodbye to your mom by the end of the year.
Oh my God.
A pox on your house. A pox on your house.
This cough is making you an even worse version of yourself, Greg.
I know, it's bad.
It's a lot.
The good news is, it's pretty much only here when I laugh, and it's moving day.
Great. Oh, it only happens when Greg Miller laughs.
It's moving day, because it's just, let me tell you, just everything. It's coming out of me. You're on booger check the rest of the show. After I blow my nose every time, you're on booger check.
I'm on booger check. Good Lord. Disgusting. You know what else is disgusting?
What's that?
The fact that I've never played a Fallout game.
You're disgusting. Last night,
I watched Fallout Episode 1 based on the glowing recommendations of most people in this office.
And?
I loved it.
Fucking
loved it. Me and G both sat down. I have little to no knowledge of Fallout. I know that there's a guy that gives a thumbs up. I know that there's a vault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything in between, a little more
hazy on. Hazy on.
Wow. What a premiere.
We got him, everybody.
You got me. Gotta say it, though. I am broken record about this, but I'll say it till the day I die. Binge release is the worst decision they could have done for a show like this. It is so high quality. Give the people something to talk about for more than one weekend.
Yeah.
It's what a mistake there.
I hear you. I do. I still appreciate the fact that Jen is so into it as well. I obviously love it. Jen loves it too. But like last night, you know what I mean? Again, we're parents. You finish that first episode. What time is it? We can do one more. Finish that next episode. Then it was, she looks at me like, how tired are you? I'm like, do you want to do a third episode? She's like, yeah. I'm like, let's fucking go. Now we're down to just 7 and 8 to do.
But see, Amazon does such a good job normally with the 3 episodes for the premiere drop.
And then
weekly. That's such a good system for shows like this when they're this damn good. If the show's bad,
you know,
get the binge, get it out of the way.
We talked about it. We talked about it before. I think like this is an interesting one where I don't know if they knew exactly what they had. You can never be sure if it's going to connect with people and resonate, right? And then I think it was the idea of Fallout means a lot to us, the gamers, right? But does it mean a lot to the world? I think it was just a calculated, whether it be the right decision or wrong decision of let's get it to get traction. And I do think that like the more you watch, the better it gets, and it has some of those like lost, you know, moments of like, what's going on now? What are they doing? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. I think the best moments of Lost were week to week when everyone was talking about it.
And when fucking Kate and Soy were hammering at each other, you know what I mean? Just going to town in the polar bear cage. Oh, really? No. You missed out. There was this button you hit and it gave you a salmon treat. I digress. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. I hear you. I understand. But I think also there's just so much noise that they were. I'm not saying it's the right thing.
Yeah.
You and I talked at length yesterday on the Invincible screencast, right? Of like, man, they did season 2 of this show dirty. Of just like taking all the wind out of their sails and this weird attempt to get it to you, but then not doing it, but then taking a break. Figure it out, Bezos.
Figure it out, but the show's
and also, incredible. Don't even get me started on the fucking anger. The fucking anger of getting ads. Like, I know if you watch a lot of Amazon Prime, this happens all the time. I don't watch that much Amazon Prime. So when I was watching Invincible and now Fallout, the fucking ad pops up. I was like, I'm going to be here for a minute. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
You got it.
I fucking pay you all this shit. I got an Alexa in the other room. Help me out.
Yeah. I guess I pay for the extra thing.
Oh, you don't get it
no
all?
No ads for me.
So you pay for, like, what, Super Prime?
Probably.
I don't know how much more that is.
Yeah. The amount of TV Gio watches, it's worth it for us.
Oh, sure,
pretty much everything. But, yeah, I love the show. I am very happy I love the show. I feel like kind of a unique opportunity for myself to be introduced to a classic video game world that I know so little about that
yeah.
I've always been interested in, but I'm now like, I get to see it from a different medium that is a little bit more inviting to me as opposed to a giant open sure. world RPG. And seeing like the leaving the vault moments and all these things that I've heard of, or like I did a Let's Play back in the day once, but like, you know, whatever, that was just that's disposable experience. Whereas this was like, man, they're really telling a cool story. The thing that sold me on giving it a shot was Blessing told me that it's, there's like some Severance-like qualities to it.
Yeah, and, including the guy from Severance.
Of course. And totally saw that in episode one. And I was like, wow. I didn't expect to be as hooked immediately as
there's
I was.
There's more going on with the vaults than you would think, right? Yeah. I think that helps
really
out
cool
the show.
Really cool stuff. Yeah. So anyway, great episode one. A not little
anyway.
Long.
Not anyway. We're not getting out of this conversation. I want to know, sir, is it like, did you enjoy it enough that tonight is destination viewing? You're coming back
oh,
for
yeah,
episode
yeah.
two?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We are going to finish this season for sure.
Do you think you finish it in the weekend?
No.
I don't know how you guys binge.
Yeah, too much stuff going on. That's the problem. There's too much stuff. You can't just be dropping these things out of nowhere for people.
But then you just reward yourself with it. You know what I mean? You decide when you want to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But we're watching it. I'm excited for it. I love where they're going with this ghoul situation. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I like it. Love the title cards.
Come on.
Starting even with the title card of the end, I'm like, this is awesome. What's happening here? Let's freaking go.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like the cast has been phenomenal so far, and it's... The production value is where it needs to be. You're not the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny. I was like super impressed with parts of it where I was like, damn, like it's pretty clever that this doesn't look that great, but that's on purpose because it's kind of like a fake situation.
Yeah.
And then
I
saw something that was like real. I'm like, oh no, it's just how it looks. But good for them though.
Again, last night, I forget if it was episode 5 or 6, but there was a moment where like the action ended and then they were like kind of in the afterglow of everything that's happening, and I turned to him, I was like, I just cannot get over how much they were like Bethesda and Todd and are on the same page as these people of like, this is the game world, so it needs to be the game, because you're like looking at a coffee table and there's a blood bag on it and there's this, and I'm like it's not even that there's a blood bag on it, it's written in black marker or whatever the same way it's written in the game, like this is the game come to real life, you know what I mean? And even the sparse set they're using looks like the sparse set you'd find in a blown out like wasteland area.
Super cool, man. I feel like without playing the games, I still have played games all my life, so I know little like tropey things and like just little
the
moments
stim pack
of like
in episode one where it's just like,
and her like switching weapons out, it's like the way that the camera like focused on it. I was like, that was cool, like that's a fun nod.
But
this stuff doesn't get in the way. Like I feel like there's a very engaging story that I'm like, what the hell's going on? Our lead is fantastic. She's super charismatic, and I'm like, the okie dokies, I'm here for it. Very surprised by this. Again, very excited for this. I love seeing game adaptations actually be great. And we're getting a lot of those, and especially with TV shows where, to your point, it's like there's a love and care being put to this to make sure that the source material is being treated with respect, and it's like, who could have called that that's all that this needed?
Oh, wow, shocking.
You know what I mean? We're on a good streak here.
So the question then becomes,
Is it better than Twisted Metal? No.
Yeah, of course it is.
No, it is.
Do you have any, is there even a burning little ember right now starting of like you going like, maybe I should try one of these Fallouts?
I did a lot of Googling last night just to see what my options were. I'm not actually going to play it. You know what I mean? I watched a couple of YouTube videos of people playing New Vegas. New Vegas is the one that's most interesting.
Sure. Here's what I'll tell you.
And I was like, no, this is not for me.
Here's what I'll tell you.
Make it a show.
Here's what I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
New Vegas Ultimate Edition, $5 on Steam right now. I made sure I picked it up because next week you and I have long plane flights.
Yeah.
You have a Steam Deck as well now.
I got plans for that Steam Deck, Greg. I start with the Tales and they end in Kanzara, I would hope.
Oh, okay. That's your pick. That's your thing? Okay, cool.
Because I'm really excited for that game.
I got review codes I'm going to probably be playing on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping if I got through those or they weren't my cup of tea, I could jump over and be like, you know what? Let's go back to Vegas here.
Yeah.
What about Fallout 76? You, me, and Mike.
Hell no.
We leave the vault together.
No.
You got to make a little ramshackle house. You got to make some water. Boil some water.
Don't like any
of
that.
I don't like that either. You know I mean? Don't like that either.
I
don't
want
like
to watch
either.
Other people do those things.
Sure. Fair enough.
In glorious 4K without ads.
Yes. Yeah, so somebody said in there it's only $3 more for it without ads. Fuck it. You can have it, Bezos. You piece of shit. You terrorist.
Yeah, damn, you got Greg.
I don't care.
That easy. I appreciate it, though. But enough about that. Unless you have more to say about Fallout.
Well, if you're watching this with your Amazon Prime, remember you have Twitch Prime or Twitch Gaming. That gives you a free subscription each and every 30 days, so you should give it to us. I can't afford my medicine without it.
Oh, I didn't see you did that.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's been an ongoing bit this week. And let me tell you, he hates it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ain't that right, Paris?
I'm so sorry.
Is he the box now?
No, no. I just know he's watching.
Oh, okay, okay.
Paris is always watching. Yeah. And that's the best part. It's because he's trapped in the Phantom Zone over there. He can't do anything about it. You know what I mean? He's a clown.
Today's stories include Star Wars Outlaws breaks a Ubisoft tradition, the BAFTA Award winners, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through all the nerdy news that you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, you can support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be part of this show, you can submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats, and we'll get to those as we go. Little housekeeping for you. A new episode of Kinda Funny Games Showdown is going down right after this show. It's a six-person Kinda Feudy episode featuring Lucy James, Callie Plaguey, and more. You can find that in all the normal places, which, of course, are YouTube and podcast services. The show is on podcast services. Search for Kinda Funny Games Showdown, and it'll be right there for you. And then today, it's all led to this. My entire life story, Greg,
led
to this moment. Come experience Pokemon like you've never experienced it before through the eyes of a 44-year-old man. That's right. The one and only Nick Scarpino will be playing his very first Pokemon game, but with a twist. It's a Nuzlocke challenge. Can he catch them all? Can he catch even one of them? Remember that one time that he caught Shingles? Join in at noon.
That killed me yesterday.
So freaking funny. Join at noon on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames for what is sure to be an electrifying experience. Peacock, motherfuckers.
Peacock. I can't stress to you all how excited I am to consume this as just a viewer. The amount of work they've been putting into this, the surprises they have up their sleeve for this, this is going to be very special. If you are an audio listener of Games Daily only, if you don't usually come and watch our stuff, please, even if you catch up later, catch us on Twitch today.
It's about to be absolutely wild. I can tell you right now, you are not prepared for what they have planned. Only on Twitch today. So make sure you go hang out, because there's about to be some big reveals that are a lot of fun. And also, I would love to announce,
speaking of big reveals,
in line with that, I would like to reveal the April Platinum item over on Patreon. It is a little Pokemon-inspired thing there.
Andy's catching them all.
Is that Kevin or is that
that's Kevin?
He's known Professor Hardwood.
It's Nick seemingly stressing out a little blue Tim Geddes over there.
You gotta love it. You gotta love a lot.
I like to assume Kevin is the Pikachu.
Then who's the
Hardwood?
Oh gosh, they're two different people.
Yeah,
but Hardwood has like gray hair.
Well, that was maybe this art was done before then. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We're dealing with like the time vortex stuff from Arceus Legends.
A young Hardwood.
Yes. God.
A lot of people
like
are asking
that.
Where I am. I'm in Andy's balls there.
Wow. Pokeballs. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Factor, Dragon's Dogma 2, and Robinhood, but we'll tell you all about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have seven stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Story number one. Star Wars Outlaws director says there are no map towers to climb out in the open world.
Ooh.
This comes from Austin Wood at Games Radar. Such a bad person.
Because Hardwood. We were coming off the Hardwood thing in the 80s balls.
Yeah. Ubisoft's next open world adventure, Star Wars Outlaws, breaks at least one of the company's time-honored traditions, climbing towers to progress the map. That's according to Game Informer's Brian Shea, who said on Twitter that Star Wars Outlaws creative director Julian
Garrity
of Ubisoft's Massive Entertainment outright confirmed, in Shea's words, there are not any towers you climb in the open world to unlock the map. What will we be doing instead of using binoculars or eagles or whatever universe-appropriate MacGuffin to scour the surrounding lands? Shea says, from what I understand, it's just through exploration, meaning the world map's obscuring fog naturally clears up as you explore new areas.
Cool. I think what this speaks to is what we've bagged on Ubisoft and a Ubisoft game and an open world game, of like how formulaic Ubisoft can be and has been in the past, and where you have those tropes that are pushed into them that then, of course, have gone on to be tropes and everything else, right? Rise of the Ronin, you're climbing up stuff too. And, you know, there's all sorts of different things to ways to synchronize points and get stuff.
Breath of the Wild.
What?
Breath of the Wild.
Never heard of it. When you look at this game, when you look at Star Wars Outlaws, right, I think you want it to feel like a Star Wars adventure. And so I think that getting in there and putting in a tower and have her climb or go up or ping off of doesn't feel rewarding, nor does it feel universe appropriate. The idea of getting into your ship, flying to the place, you land on a new planet with a new city, and then you explore, and that fills out the map. That's a cool way to do it, obviously. And it's not reinventing the wheel. It's just more that I think Ubisoft needs to get out in front of, this isn't us, I don't want to say half-assing it, but resting on our laurels. Did Avatar have the towers?
Yeah, it was like outpost areas. And yeah, it's formulaic, I think, is the best way to put it. Because it's like, a lot of the time, it's not actually a problem. It's just when we can start seeing through.
When you see the game design on top of it.
And I think it's the same thing with a lot of the like load screens being hidden by elevators back in the day or in more recent times when you're
pushing
going
through a wall,
ledge.
There's a crack.
And it's just funny where I feel like we're now at a point that like you almost just can't have characters push through a ledge or a crack ever because we're all just so attuned to looking at it as a problem.
Yeah.
Or looking at like we're too smart for our own good. We know too much on this stuff. We're through the looking glass. How many other ways can I say this, Greg?
You've said it. They know.
They get it. Thank you. And I feel like towers are a similar thing there where I would say more often than not, I have fun doing the tower stuff. Having said that, being not the biggest open world guy, it's not like I've played a million Assassin's Creed and done this a bazillion times.
Me and Barrett have, hey.
But when towers show up in the games I'm playing, I'm usually not like, oh, I hate this.
It's not that I hate it. It's just then it becomes, oh. Like that was, I think, people's criticism with Rise of the Ronin, is that it was the, bleh, we've thrown objectives up onto a map. You're going to go do this. And it's what I was talking about in the review where I was like, I like it and I'm enjoying myself, but I called it slop, right? Where it is just, I'm a little piggy, just eating this slop up that isn't giving me any, you know, it's empty calories. It's not nutritional value. I'm not getting something out of it, right? I want to eventually come back to this game, right? Because everything we just saw for climbing the ship, fly away, the UI presentation, are we fucking kidding that this game isn't fucking awesome looking? Like, but that's the idea with it, right? Of like, I don't want, and I'm sure every other Star Wars fan don't want this just to be some disposable open world game where you're running around doing the damn thing. Like, I think what's been interesting for me, and this is a reflection, obviously, on having less time, you know what I mean, between work and then trying to be a good dad when I get home and stuff, right, is, like, I never made it back to Platinum, the Last Jedi game, right? And that sucks, but on the one hand, it doesn't because I had such a great experience on it, and I had so many fun with the stories that even going back now and being like, what little map objectives do I need to clear off isn't paramount to Cal's story. Same thing happened with me with Ragnarok. Same thing's happening right now with Rise of the Ronin, where the reviews just keep coming. The games keep coming. I've had my fun with Rise of the Ronin, and it was, okay, cool. I had my fun chewing Bazooka Joe and spitting it out, right? Whereas when I look at Ragnarok, when I look at Star Wars Jedi, right, those are more premium experiences that I remember the story of the characters, the moments, this, that, the other, right? In a way that Ronan and I remember being a fun thing to play and kill people. I want Outlaws to be a game that is above just being fun.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Me too. And I'm excited for it. I'm hopeful for it. I feel like I want Ubisoft to be back. And I feel like there is little baby step evidence that they are about to be. But
that they're
like,
listening. They're trying to write the ship. Remember how big the ship is.
And it's a big skull and bone size ship, Greg. Like, so it is weird to talk about it where it's like, my game of the year so far, Prince of Persia, Lost Crown, Ubisoft, right? Like that came out and it's amazing and they're updating it in ways that I am so stoked about. Early access Prince of Persia coming out that like I played. Seems good.
Yeah.
But then there was Skull of Bones. Avatar, I would say, was a step in the right direction, although formulaic. Like it's not like it reinvented anything and it definitely didn't like... you know, make people think, oh shit, you gotta play this Avatar game, even though you don't want to play an Avatar game. This is Star Wars, though, and we've been talking a lot about this in the last week, once the release date for this came out and the trailer was even announced. But between Outlaws and Assassin's Creed Jade, like, Ubisoft is really, really, really kind of putting its two biggest guns forward. Like, I don't think Ubisoft has ever had a potential for, like, two bangers this big. Right?
Yeah.
Am I missing something? Like looking back, like having the division team work on a Star Wars that looks like this, and then finally getting the Japan Assassin's Creed. Like it just seems like two huge swings that
dream
projects.
You gotta
hope that they crush both of them.
100%. Yeah, you have to hope that they do.
Red, not Jade. For Assassin's Creed.
That's confusing.
Jade's the mobile one.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. And you hope it is the right thing. And it's like, I really think you talk about the towers. You talk about seeing through the game design and that taking away from the experience, lessening what it is, it really gets down to what this Assassin's Creed, what will actually look like, right? Is it going to be something we look at and we're like, oh, cool, it's Assassin's Creed Japan, because we've had that already, right? You could say Rise of the Ronin, you could say Ghost of Tsushima, right? Or is it going to be something that, hey, we really went in here and tried to reinvent what Assassin's Creed is to some level?
I mean, do you think there's even a chance that's the case?
On yeah, because it's going to have to all fit within Assassin's Creed Infinity.
Go off. Get out. Get out of here. Get away.
It's going to happen, wrong. Greg. He's
I know. Wrong. It probably will. Yeah, whatever. They're weird little launch or whatever. I don't know. Again, to what you're talking about, right? If Ubisoft wants to get on track, if they want to be seen as something different, I think it has to at some point. Like, you've already had these big Assassin's Creed RPG games, right? With Assassin's Creed Origins, Odyssey, and then, of course, Valhalla, right? And so I think, like, either Origins or Odyssey hits for whoever it loves those, what it is. Mm-hmm. And then Valhalla was the one where it was like, oh, okay, it's more, and it's way too big.
So is that the case? Because I know that's the case for a lot of people here.
Super chat, tell me right now. I need super chats on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames if you like Valhalla. If you love Valhalla.
I'm interested in the super chats, but I'm also interested just in the more the facts of it, of, like, the sales and the reception. Like, I wonder how Ubisoft looks at the past three Assassin's Creed sure. games, or even four with Mirage. Like, I wonder which ones they count as a success, which ones they count as a failure, if any, or are all of these just massive successes for them, and they're back to the days of, like, hey, we're going to stop making these games when people stop buying them. But I feel like, while it's true that the people you're around, right? I hear so much about Odyssey from you.
Yeah.
And then Valhalla, I feel like, specifically being a launch title at the time it came out, it's weird because Black Flag got talked about so much being a launch title for PS4 and Xbox One because it was the standout game of the launch lineup, whereas the PS5 had Astro's Playroom, it had Miles Morales. Like, there were, like, bigger titles, specifically Miles, bigger titles that were, like, the big, holy crap, first-party games launching on this system. And then Valhalla was, like, an extra thing. You know yeah. what I mean? It didn't feel like the main event.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Of people's time, even.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, I think if you read what Ubisoft's saying in all these financial reports, right, like, they know something's amiss. I think mm-hmm. they're working on trying to figure out, you know, where they go from here. How do they get back? What's their next step? How do they become more than what they are right now?
What does Ubisoft mean to you, Greg?
At the moment?
Ever. Like, what are the Ubisoft things that you're like, not just nostalgia plays of, like, oh, I used to love this or whatever, but, like, what now could they be announcing that you're like, oh, man, to me, Greg Miller, this feels like Ubisoft's on the right path?
I think smaller, scoped, shorter games. Like, I think that's what the problem is, right? I've talked about this before, but, like, if you remember your history when Vivendi was trying to hostile take over Ubisoft, that's when Yves battened down the hatches and was like, we are going to make these kind of games. And that became the Ubisoft open world game we're talking about, right? At the time, when they rallied behind that and started making those games, that was, they were well received. People dug them. They, you know, they fought off this Vivendi purchase, right? And it seemed like, cool, you're doing that. You're doing UB art. You're putting things out like Valiant Hearts and Rayman, right? You're putting out these big games that have all these open world aspects. Okay, cool, you're doing the right thing. And then I feel like they just kept marching in the giant AAA realm where they have all of these studios and all these people and all these teams working on these massive games that are getting to the point where it's just, you're getting to the point where you're just like, okay, cool. It's another Assassin's Creed. It's more towers to unlock. It's more of this. And again, then you're going right back to what you were talking about, which is, of course, when Assassin's Creed was annualized, they were asked straight up, when are you going to stop making them annualized? And he said, when you stop buying them. And they eventually did, and they took away, and that was a great breath of fresh air for the franchise where people stopped and thought and worked on it. You'd like to imagine that they know they need to keep this going. They need to, Assassin's Creed is one of their babies, but they need to make great games from it, and they need to let these creators make games from it. And I think it really does come down to, all right, cool, let's scale back the scope. Let's tell a story. Let's make, you know, what are we doing with this game? And then you bring in Infinity, and maybe that's the bridge. Infinity, you bring in, maybe that's the bridge. Maybe you're putting them all there, and that can be the overarching what you're doing, blah, 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 blah. But again, I stand by that if Infinity drops, and it's all of these Assassin's Creeds rolled into one, it's this launcher, it's this, that, and the other, blah, 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 great. then let these Assassin's Creed experiences I'm getting be shorter. Let them be episodic. Let them be whatever, right? Because again, like, for me, in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Cassandra's story, loving that game, loving that character, loving my cast of characters surrounding me, was all about her personal story. The go under fucking water to get this fucking thing that's the crest of a pharmacy that'll give you life forever and you're going to be on the world for thousands. I did not give a shit. I didn't need that. I just wanted it to be her story of her getting back her grandfather's spear, right? And going off and being fucking badass and what was going on with her brother. And like, that's all I needed. I don't need, even with Valhalla, it was the same way. We're like, I don't need to get back to what's going on with the fucking Templars and all this shit. Like, or Abstergo, right? Like, we're so far beyond that. I think the games are stronger when they're not trying to then hitch back into this.
The
Marat pays off in Valhalla, Greg.
Well, I think my clock said 75 hours of Valhalla, and I have no idea because I still nowhere near the end of the story.
That's totally fair, and I fuck with Valhalla very heavily, even though it's bigger than Odyssey. I think the way it's paced out in grinding and leveling makes a bit more sense than Odyssey's world, but it pays off. It's really fucking cool.
Hell yeah. I forgot, Greg, did you play through Mirage?
No, started it, okay. Enjoyed it, and it was one of those things where Barrett was reviewing, we got codes, and the next day I got something else.
Because is that not what you're describing, kind of?
Yeah. I mean, a shorter, smaller experience? Yeah, 100%, right? But it's the thing of, like, again, I want there to be some middle ground of there still being the RPG nature of it or whatever. And again, Mirage was a callback to actually getting into the, all right, cool, the Templars, and this is what's going on. And, like, it was traditional Assassin's Creed in that way, whereas I like the open world RPG. I'm going to go tell a bunch of stories around stuff rather than be on the one path, even though I did like it.
We got a bunch of different super chats coming in. Thank you so much for that. Street Shadow says, I liked Valhalla, but my issue was it was too big and longer than it needed to be. Plus, I missed the classic AC gameplay from Black Flag and now Mirage. Bobby Schulte says, Valhalla was so freaking good. Kebab says, no, Dark Age Vikings is a boring setting to me. And then CJ Splitson says, is there not a good chance that Tsushima, I don't know,
I like that,
not only gets revealed first, but AC Red gets pushed into the same year in 2025? Ooh, that's a good question here. I don't think it'll be revealed first, because I imagine that we'll get Assassin's Creed at the Ubisoft Forward in June.
Sure, but there's rumors right from Grub or whatever for another PlayStation Showcase / State of Play somewhere
May. Probably May, yeah.
In the near weeks, I think is what it was. I forget what the actual
rumor is. Okay, let's just assume May happens.
It's gonna be May.
Well, actually, doesn't really matter when Ghost gets announced. Let's pretend it's May, because we already know that there's not going to be a big PlayStation release before March. So is that correct?
Like April 2025, I thought it was.
April then. So that means that Ghost 2 is, you want me over on the Tsushima, by the way.
Tsushima.
That's minimum May next year.
Yeah.
So even if it gets announced, we're looking at an announcement an entire year out, which is not impossible, but it feels a little not how they've been doing things recently, but at this point.
But I was going to say, exactly. It hasn't been going well with how they've been doing it recently.
So, yeah, that would be May. I don't see Assassin's Creed Red coming that late. You know, I feel like there is a chance it gets pushed out of this year. Star Wars Outlaws being the end of August, I do think is a little close to that October, November place for Assassin's Creed for the type of games that they both are and for how big a deal this is for Ubisoft. So I wouldn't be shocked if Assassin's Creed ends up being February, March next year. And that would be fairly close if Ghost 2 comes out May. That's the earliest it could
be. I bet it would be coming out fall next year.
Yeah.
Or end of summer, fall.
Yeah. But then, there would be. What do you think about that? That competition between Japan Assassin's Creed and the proven entity of Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, for two games we don't know much about, right? / anything, really. But, I mean, it's real. It's there. It's the idea of, again, what does Ubisoft want to be? What do they want to be considered, right? I would sit here and say that I would imagine that the handcrafted, smaller team working on Ghost Tsushima is going to make a more high quality version of that, right? Based on what we saw from Ghost of Tsushima 1, right? Than what you see from an Assassin's Creed that I think is going to be bloated and big and a million different towers to run to and go get this and this collectible and da 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 da. Not that it didn't have that in Ghost, but I'm saying I think it was like it's more egregious in Assassin's Creed. The map is bigger in Assassin's Creed. There's more shit to do.
You just had a great time with Rise of the Ronin.
I sure did.
I know you love these big Assassin's Creed games. You love Ghost. Is there room in your heart for all of them?
Yeah, of course. I mean, especially with there being enough space between them, right? If they're on top of each other, then maybe it's a binge. Oh, I got this too much or whatever. But right now, the way everything's being spaced out, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Let's see what else we got here. We got James Collier saying, thanks for becoming my best poker friend today, Tim. Can't wait till the level 50 jacket makes an appearance. We're grinding, baby. I'm best friending y'all left and right with this stuff. Getting that 200K XP. I'm level 47. Cruising up, Greg. Oh, yeah. It's getting closer and closer. Getting harder and harder for that final grind.
Yeah.
Level 50's coming, baby.
Right now, if you were to estimate, when will you hit 50?
I honestly think it's going to take about a year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's wild that, like, these last couple levels are just.
Can we do a big, like, do it on stream?
Thing? I want to. I want to figure that out. It's a little hard, but I see there's a lot of people out there that do stream every day.
Yeah.
I've been playing Pokemon Go. So I want to figure it out. Yeah. I do want to make it an event somehow, but I think it'll be quite a while away. But we have one more here saying from Tavon Lawrence saying PS4. Hold on. I'm trying to make sense of this.
PS4 didn't have backwards compatibility, so Assassin's Creed Black Flag felt more important.
Yes.
PS5 was so Valhalla felt less relevant because you could play. It was cross gen or whatever for.
That's interesting. Valhalla. I mean, I don't know how much I agree with it, but I feel what you're saying here. And Oscar says, "I'm late. I really liked Valhalla." So yeah, there we go, everybody. Thank you for contributing to the show, and thank you for your kind of funny memberships where you get the show ad free. For everyone else, though, thank you for watching these ads. This episode is brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by Dragon's Dogma 2. Dragon's Dogma 2 is the highly anticipated action RPG successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, released in 2012. Dragon's Dogma 2 boasts a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using immersive physics, character AI, and the latest in graphics from Capcom's RE engine. This single-player action RPG challenges players to use their creativity and curiosity to shape their own experience. The world of Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves around choice. Both your party of pawns and enemies alike will react dynamically to your actions on the battlefield, whether you cling to the backs of monsters or seek to dispatch them from afar. Whether you like melee combat, shooting bows and spells, scaling enormous monsters, or using your environment to your advantage, Dragon's Dogma 2 has something for you. And the character creator is easy to use with a ton of customizability to get as creative as you want. So go to dragonsdogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. This episode's brought to you by Robinhood. Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this, now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right, no cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024, validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. We're back. Rick, I think we can retire the Paris sucks box bit. You cool with that?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, you don't really understand comedy.
Yeah, all right.
God damn it.
I hate it here.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't like this next to me.
I mean, you made it.
No, I did not make this. Paris,
I want you to know I wanted this to stop a long time ago, but Tim made it. Come back to Tim. There's the marker he used.
Oh, wow. Caught red-handed, everybody. Story number two. Baldur's Gate 3 wins best game at the 2024 BAFTA Game Awards. This comes from Jordan Midler at VGC. Baldur's Gate 3 has won the award for best game at the 2024 BAFTA Awards. Alan Wake 2 took home two awards, including for artistic achievement and audio achievement. Aside from Best Game, Baldur's Gate 3 also took home the EE Game of the Year, which is the only award voted for by the general public. Nintendo took home...
Real quick, I believe his pronunciation is EE Game of the Year.
Nintendo took home four awards, split evenly between The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. UK gaming charity Special Effect was presented with the special award. What? No way.
UK gaming charity Special Effect was presented with a special award.
With the special award. Not just a special
award. Well, I mean, it's uppercased. Special award.
Yeah, like it's a proper award. It's the special award. That's cool. UK gaming charity Special Effect was presented with the special award since it was set up by a former teacher, Mick Donegan, in 2007.
The BAFTA Special Award, one of BAFTA's highest honors, was presented a Special Effect in a recognition of outstanding work it does to enhance the quality of life for severely physical disabled people through access to games. I'm trying to dial into what the special award is. I'll keep you posted.
So Special Effect is focused on helping physically disabled people, especially children, play video games. So
yes, but what's the special award?
I think it's just the category.
Okay.
Which is a little weird name, but it's cool, and it's just a weird coincidence that Special Effects won special award. But anyways, I digress. Oh, there's more information here, Greg. Special Award, which is one of the highest accolades offered by BAFTA, recognizes outstanding contributions to film, games, or television.
Thank you.
So there you go. That's how special it is. The full list of winners include Best Debut Game, Venba.
Woo!
There we go. Audio Achievement, Alan Wake 2. Multiplayer, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. For reals? For reals. All right, y'all. Evolving Game,
Cyberpunk.
You know
how it is. You get down to that, you're like, I gotta give Mario something.
Yeah, but multiplayer?
Hey, man.
All right. Hey, man.
I didn't fucking vote. You know
game
what I mean?
Design goes to Dave the Diver, Evolving Games, Cyberpunk 2077, British Game, Viewfinder. New Intellectual Property, Viewfinder. The Special Award goes to Special Effect once again. Performer and Supporting Role goes to Andrew Wincott at Baldur's Gate 3. Family Game goes to Mario Wonder. Player's Choice.
Player's Choice. 3.
Animation to Hi-Fi Rush. Very cool.
There you go.
Game Beyond Entertainment. Technical Achievement. Tears of the Kingdom. Performer in a Leading Role goes to Najee Jeter from Marvel's Spider-Man 2. And Best Game, Baldur's Gate 3. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
Pretty cool. Shout out to BAFTAs.
Shout out to the BAFTAs, indeed. One day we'd love to go,
But
I hear they're still smarting over what happened in 1776. Am I right? You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Story number three, everybody. Possibility Space is seemingly closing down.
Oh.
This is Ethan Gatch over at Kotaku saying, Jeff Strand, co-founder of Undead Labs, just shut down Possibility Space, I'm told. It's the second studio he's suddenly closed in 2 months. The surprise mass layoff announcement means dozens more have been thrust out into one of the worst markets for game developers ever. I and all my coworkers just lost my job at Possibility Space. If you or someone you know is on the lookout for a senior gameplay designer who loves making things come to life, let me know. This is Brendan McLeod at Soul Kata over on Twitter. And then Tim from there as well, saying possibility space was just shut down from what I've heard. They cut off access in the middle of meetings for some and sent an absolutely unhinged email blaming the Kotaku article for the cancellation of PS's project.
Jesus.
A masterclass on how to never run a company or treat employees.
Holy fuck, dude.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know, man.
That sounds extra bad.
So
worse than the normal shit that's been going on.
This was breaking as we went live. There's now a write-up from Brendan Sinclair over at gamesindustry.biz. I'm obviously seeing it for the first time. Let me see what if there's some of news the developers posted on social media, confirmed by gamesindustry.biz. The closure comes just 2 weeks after parent company Britannia Media formally shut down its Crop Circle Games studio. In a post on the Crop Circle website, which has since gone offline, former Britannia Media CEO said the company had also gone through cuts to its non-developer employees. While Crop Circle was formally closed in late March, it effectively halted operations in February. The status of these, there's two other studios, are unknown. Possibility Space was the first Britannia Media studio announced in October 2021 with a stated commitment of, quote, creating world-class games within safe and ethical work environments, end quote, and looking to hire people from marginalized communities. Britannia was founded by Annie DeLisandre Strain and her husband Jeff Strain, best known for co-founding Undead Labs and ArenaNet.
Hmm.
Goddamn.
Goddamn, man.
Goddamn. Yeah,
this sucks. Dude, this fucking layoff stuff is so sad. I hate how much we need to talk about these studio closures and just how so many people's lives are just being completely destroyed and upheaved in a blink notice, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday, Gia's company, which is many people, had 10% of its staff just let go, seemingly out of nowhere. They just get an email. She had a feeling the night before because they were all like, hey, we're going to have everybody work from home tomorrow. And she's like, this doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And then they send out an email that it's just like, hey, everybody, 10% of the company, which means almost 200 people are going to be let go today. You're going to get an email soon saying, have you survived or not? How fucking terrifying is that?
Fuck?
And here's the thing. It's like, what's a better way to do that? I don't know. Like, yeah. There's no right answer to this shit, but there's a ton of bullshit going on. And it's like, G made it. Every single one of G's team made it. There's a lot of people she knows that made it. There's a lot of people that didn't. But what really sucks about this is even her making it, the last 48 hours have just been her being stressed out of her fucking mind about all this stuff. And it's just, I hate that this is just the way that things are now. And it's just like, oh, and the worst thing about this, Craig,
yeah,
is that she and her entire team of 20 people, not a single one of them has not experienced layoffs before. Every single one of them has gone through layoffs. The majority of them, over half of them, have been laid off in the last 10 years. And it's just like fucking crazy how all this stuff's going. She's in health tech, so it's like adjacent to us, like very adjacent, but close enough with the tech stuff. But anyways, sorry to go off on a tangent. It just sucks that like to see even the people that quote unquote aren't affected, how affected they are. And then that's not even talking about the people that actually are affected and how just insane this whole thing is.
I have the letter here from an IGN article where they're quoting Carpenter, so the Jeff Strand thing. I want to get to that. But real quick, you're like, I can't think of a better way to lay people off or whatever. Let's just brainstorm. No bad thoughts here. If we had to, my pitch would be we change the code on the door for everybody, and then up on top of the building, we film them come up. And then when they can't get in, we're like, you're laid off. And then I toss their stuff down to them, you know?
Make content out of it.
Yeah. Like, we got to keep the show going for us.
Right. At that point, the grift begins, right?
I got a kid.
Yeah.
Anyways, back. We're going to jump over to IGN.
You don't think that we're going to climb up that building and fucking fight you?
You're going to get fucking Mankind thrown off the hell in a cell, Greg.
There's a reason why Gia's company asked them to work from home. And then they treated it like a game show.
God, that's also great. I'll be like, you can't get the code to work. I'm like, all right, there's going to be layoffs.
Yeah.
Up here, I have three Money in the Bank briefcases. Whoever can get up here and get them.
Good Lord, man. Good fucking Lord.
I'm sorry.
No.
Over the IGN article. The IGN article is put together by Rebecca Valentine, of course. Her update from 10:35 reads, Polygon journalist Nicole Carpenter has obtained and shared a copy of the email sent to Possibility Space staff in which Jeff Strain blames the closure of the studio on the aforementioned unpublished Kotaku article and staff's willingness to leak confidential information to a journalist. According to Strain's email, the studio's publishing partner expressed, quote, low confidence they would be willing to invest in the additional resources needed to complete the game, and the two companies mutually agreed to cancel the studio's project and, in turn, led Strain to shut down the studio. I'm opening it up here because it sounds like, yeah. Nicole's tweet says, in a bizarre studio closure and layoff message to staff, Possibility Space owner Jeff Strain blamed the studio closure on employees leaking information to the press. Oh my God.
Sure. All right.
The fucking, it's just, it's screenshots on, of it's like the fucking apology. It's just your iPhone notes.
Yeah. All right, I'm sure there'll be follow-up stories on this, getting into more details. But moving on to story number four. IGN Live dates and location revealed for 2024. This comes from IGN. IGN Live, IGN's one-of-a-kind summer fan event. I really wonder what's going to make it one-of-a-kind. You know,
one of a kind.
Sounds one of many, if I'm being completely honest. Will take place June 7th through 9th in downtown Los Angeles. The event will transform the Magic Box at the Reef into the ultimate destination for pop culture fans and feature a dynamic stage show with developers, publishers, creators, and more across gaming and entertainment. Fans stepping into IGN Live can expect exciting activations and immersive experiences, including demos, photo opportunities, exclusive merch, screenings, food trucks, live music, and much more. Plus, each day will feature exclusive reveals, trailers, gameplay, panels, interviews, episodes of IGN shows, and more live in person for everyone in attendance. And for the audience at home, they'll be showcasing tons of content across all of IGN's global platforms. Stay tuned for more exciting information, blah, 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 blah. More summer events. So it sounds like this is on top of Summer Game Fest.
Same day.
So they're talking about getting some reveals going on, some trailers. I doubt it's going to be anything like mind-blowing, but they've been doing their Summer of Gaming stuff the last couple of years. They've had a couple cool
exclusives. I mean, they talk about gaming and entertainment. So the fact that it could be some of the movies, some of the shows, some of the whatever stuff that's also going on. Then, yeah, you imagine whoever's showing stuff at SGF, maybe if they're bigger names, they come over and do a panel or do a trailer reaction or whatever it'll be.
Yeah. If anything, I think this could be cool as a supplement to what Summer Game Fest Playdays tends to be, which is a bunch of people go play a game, but there's not really a like panel show or anything to be able to like talk to the devs or just anybody that's working on the game. So this could kind of be like a nice, you know, we're giving our previews of what we just played, but then also the IGN Live is having sit down interviews
with
the people about what
what people they're showing playing, there, what they're showing they did, and
stuff like that. So that could be kind of cool.
This little complimentary piece.
I like that. Again, because SGF, you figure like, it'll be the big show, like live from the YouTube theater on that Friday, right? Then it's Playdays. Playdays is private. Mm-hmm. A lot of that shit's embargoed. You won't see anything outside of social media from a lot of people at the time. And then Giant Bomb Couch, probably they're doing. And then you jump over to IGN, right? They're actually live. They're actually talking. That's cool.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm always a fan of this type of stuff. Like, I hope that this works. But it takes a lot to make these things work, and you can't just do them. So we'll have to wait. We'll have to see, Greg.
Can I read this letter?
Read away.
This letter is fucking
crazy.
Go for it.
It's insane.
So this is, again, Jeff Strain, Possibility Space owner, who then closed his studio today and laid off everybody. He said, this is the, Nicole has this message here that's all screenshots off of notes, so I'm not sure if they pasted it in and did that way, but whatever. Late last week, I received a list of topics and questions from Ethan Gotch, a reporter at Kotaku, regarding an article he's writing about Britannia Media and the closure of Crop Circle Games. Much of it was expected, but I was also stunned to see non-public information about Project Vonnegut, a disclosure of our publishing partner with details of our business and financial relationship, and details of internal P&L discussions and confidential all-company meetings. Mr. Gotch specifically credits current employees as the source of this information. Leaks of this nature are typically malicious and done by outside hacking, so to see internal team members under a confidentiality agreement engage in this was shocking. Given the company's own strict confidentiality and notification obligations, I immediately got on a plane for in-person meetings with our publishing partner to disclose the information breach and to discuss the impact on the project. During that discussion, our partner expressed low confidence that they would be willing to invest in additional resources needed to complete the game, so we mutually agreed to cancel Vonnegut. As a result of the cancellation of the publishing relationship, and after careful consideration, I am closing Possibility Space. Today is your last day of employment with Possibility Space and Britannia Media. Your final paycheck, including pay for work through the end of today, will be deposited to your account, along with any other required payments as dictated by your work location. For employees located outside the United States, today will serve as the first day of your notice period, and your final day of employment is currently scheduled for April 19th, 2024. However, all non-U.S. employees, like their U.S. peers, will have no work obligations after today. In addition, all employees affiliated through a PEO will have their employment separation processed according to applicable law. It will take a few more days to finalize details of the termination agreement with our publishing partner, calculate our tax, insurance, vendor and contractor obligations, and any other outstanding liabilities, and then determine what we can do for severance. I've retained a D.C.-based global law firm to oversee the wind down of the studio. An employment attorney from that firm will soon follow up to your personal email address with additional details. And that person will be your direct point of contact from here on all matters related to your employment, including continuation of insurance benefits, severance payments, and or associated separation agreements. A copy of this email has also been sent to your personal email address. You may keep your development equipment provided you permanently. You may keep your development equipment provided you permanently delete all company confidential information, confirm you have done it so in writing, and strictly abide by our existing confidentiality obligations, including proper handling of company IP and other confidential and proprietary information. This confirmation will be coordinated through the forthcoming communications noted above. As of today, I am stepping away from the game industry to focus on my family and care for Annie. I wish all of you the best as you navigate this complex industry and the challenges and opportunities ahead.
You're Jeff. The one who presents the challenges and complex issues, motherfucker. Also, what is this dude hiding? That, like, the second he gets a whiff that someone's looking into him and the other studio he fucking closed, he's like, I gotta go. And I'm gonna immediately shut down this other studio that I'm in charge of. What the fuck are you hiding, dude?
This is bad. This is really bad, y'all.
Fucking hate these people. Crazy. God damn it. That is a fucking unhinged statement.
Story number five. Around 100 devs at Just Cause Studio are unionizing. This comes from Kenneth Shepard at Kotaku.
I wonder why.
Around 100 employees at Just Cause developer Avalanche Studios Group are unionizing. This means around a fifth of the 500-person Swedish team is now bargaining with the company's management for a fair contract. IGN confirmed with a union rep that more than 100 workers have joined Uninion, a Swedish trade union. According to their statement, Avalanche Studios Group workers have been working towards joining a union since early this year, when members formed a local union board to bargain with the studio's management over specific benefits, but the rep didn't share specific issues. According to IGN sources, moving to a four-day work week is at least one issue the team has raised in its negotiations. Avalanche Studio Group provided the following comment to IGN regarding the situation. As an employer, we're committed to creating the best possible conditions for all Avalanchers to thrive. We support and welcome any initiative that goes in this direction. This also means that we listen, invite dialogue, and encourage people to bring forward their perspectives and needs. After all, it's thanks to each and every Avalancher that we're able to make the great games we're known for. All good news, right?
Yep.
This just sounds like good news from every side of this, including them saying, hey, as an employer, we're trying to do great.
Yep.
Good on you.
Yep.
Avalanche, good Crush on it. You.
Good job, Avalanche.
Story number six. Ratchet & Clank 2016 got an update.
Oh,
This comes from Insomniac Games Twitter. Bounce back to Ratchet & Clank 2016 for its 8th anniversary. To celebrate, the Bouncer is now available to download at no additional cost. Complete your arsenal and revisit the reimagining of the duo's first outing. Now in 60 frames per second on PS5 via
Whoa.
Update. What a fun thing, going back to an old game like this and just putting something new in it to celebrate an anniversary. You know, not going to get me to turn it back on, but it's cool.
Kebabs will, though.
Oh, absolutely. We know that for sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, celebrate your moments. You know what I mean? Get out there and support your community and do cool things like this. Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's a big moment. You got to celebrate big things in a big way. But Greg,
yeah,
I'm tired of all the big things. If I want something smaller, the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I look?
You go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small items you need to know about.
Clap Hands Ultimate Swing Golf launches this year on MetaQuest 2/3/Pro.
Yesterday I got the tweet. Somebody added me, and I saw they were adding me on a Clap Hands tweet. I was like, oh, you know, Hot Shots Golf, and you know, I looked at it, I was like, ah, VR, I'm good.
New Nintendo Switch Online games are out now. Everybody, strap in. You might want to sit down for this. Wrecking Crew 98, Super R Type, which is actually legit. That's an awesome game. And Amazing Habreki. Woo!
It's finally happening.
Where is it, Tim?
I don't know.
Where the fuck is Donkey Kong 64?
Where is it, everybody? DK, Donkey Kong, he's the leader of the bunch. You know him well. Fortnite Cross Avatar Elements is out today, and it looks fucking cool as hell, Greg.
Does it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barrett was showing me a little trailer earlier. I was like, whoa, this looks sick as hell. And then something very important I wanted to bring up. Can you please bring it up, Barrett?
Wait, I said I'm going to bring up something else too. So oh.
Well, I'll bring up the Knuckles thing first.
Thank you. We have a new poster for the streaming event, Greg. Sixth episode event.
And this is Idris Elba.
This is okay. April 26th. We are like 15 days away or so from the Knuckles show on Paramount Plus. I cannot 14. Be more excited. 14. 14 days, everybody, from this movie.
Two weeks.
Things are about to change. Real talk, though, I've been talking about this. I'm so impressed, Greg, that we're at this age of the streaming wars that, like, I don't know what phase we're in. There's been some really bad issues going on. But we're getting to a point that on Paramount Plus, they're putting this out. It looks like the movie.
Okay.
Like, the quality of it, I'm like, what?
Has there been trailers for this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think Game Awards had a trailer for it, too. But it looks fantastic. I mean, it looks as good as the movies.
What are you going to do? You know? Yeah.
So I love that they're, like, building out the lore that way. And they're doing the same thing for Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. They're getting a show that's based in the movie universe that has a different art style, but it's awesome. Like, cool stuff going on. And also, Monarch got announced for season 2 yesterday. Really excited. And also some spinoffs, which I'm like, we'll see how that goes. But more MonsterVerse makes me very happy. And then, this is the Avatar in Fortnite.
I definitely thought you meant the blue people.
But very
we
cool.
We meant the good Avatar.
I feel you.
Like, this looks like very... what dreams are made of for.
Yeah, I said this yesterday, I think, where it's like, this isn't going to get me back into Fortnite, but it just makes me want a really good Avatar game.
You were really into Fortnite, though.
I haven't touched Fortnite in, I think, 2 years.
But you were really into it. As almost,
eh.
You were like the best one we had.
Eh.
Get out of here. You're being too kind.
What do you have to send him?
No, this is what I asked him for this trailer, and then you like pull this up. I'm like, well, give him a second because he's Googling for my thing.
Well, there you go. We already went through the super chats for today. Thank you guys for doing all of those. So now we're going to go to a little thing I like to call You're Wrong, where you correct us as we get things wrong throughout the show. Kebabs wrote in saying, for context, the bouncer isn't new. It was previously a pre-order exclusive and not available via any other method until now. And he's like, I did already have it via pre-order. You know me. So there we go. The bouncer is also available in Rift Apart once you get to challenge mode.
Did you think it was the hit classic game,
PS2
the bouncer
game?
From PS2?
You ever play it?
Yeah, of course. I had a PS2.
Yeah.
Oh, this cool game's out. Let's see what this is all about. What the shit is this?
Bring back the bouncer, everybody. We did get one more super chat here. DM McDermott says, hey guys, first time watching live because I quit my job of 14 years yesterday to pursue game development. Scariest
what
thing
a time
I've ever
to jump
done.
In. What a time to jump in.
Scariest thing I've ever done, but I'm giving myself 1 year to make progress. Wish me luck.
Yeah,
the luck is yours. Let's go.
I like the deadline.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a year to make this work, and if not, I'm going to go back to being a...
Doctor. Did you hear what Nick said yesterday? We were doing an interview. We were from Mad Max. Y'all can watch it now. Mad Max 1. Great movie. Surprisingly great. Never saw it before, Greg. George Miller, who is the director of the Mad Max movies. Did you know that he won an Academy Award?
I did.
Do you know what he won it for?
Effects.
Directing.
The latest one, right?
Happy Feet.
Huh. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Best animated feature. Happy Feet. You know, did you also know that he wrote and produced Babe?
No, I didn't know that.
Did you know that he directed Babe 2, Pig in the City?
No, I didn't know that.
He did all those things. Did you know that to fund Mad Max, he was a part-time doctor in emergency rooms? And that's how he got the money to be able to make Mad Max?
Sure.
That's a true story.
Wow.
And I was telling Nick about that he used to be a doctor. And Nick goes, did you know that I'm a doctor? And none of us reply. There's a moment pause, and he goes, doctor of keeping it real.
Yeah, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's
you know
like, really?
I mean?
It's worse than I thought.
Yeah. He's got a problem. And he's our problem now.
And then Bender Ascent says, Assassin's Creed Valhalla was the highest selling Assassin's Creed in its first week of sales. It's currently Ubisoft's second most profitable game ever and made over $1 billion in revenue. So that's what I'm talking about. You know? But that's the thing. Is like sales versus critical reception versus like public conscious of like being talked about even just a few years later. All different things, different metrics of success. But I'll tell you what, Greg, $1 billion is a pretty good metric of success. And that's what we got on this beautiful, beautiful Friday. You excited for the weekend? Like, what plans do you have this weekend?
Jen's birthday.
Yes.
So lots of plans going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's giving me what she wants tomorrow. You know what I mean? So it's like She wants big bed cuddles with me and Ben in the morning when he wakes up.
Love that.
Coffee. We're going out for breakfast. Then she wants a little bit of a hike if it's not raining too bad. Then we're going to come home, put Ben down. Ben's going to wake up. Jen will go off. She's going to get a massage. Mm-hmm. Mom goes off and gets a massage. When Ben wakes up, me and him are making birthday cupcakes for her.
Love that. Great. Does she know that?
Huh? Oh, yeah. She knows. Yeah.
Okay.
Then chill out, hang out. I'm going to make dinner. I'm going to do, Joe Beef, our favorite restaurant up in Quebec, Montreal, right? From their cookbook, I haven't done it in years. They have this lobster spaghetti. I'm going to make the lobster spaghetti. We're going to have that. Then the nanny comes over. We're coming downtown for a date night cocktail.
Oh, yeah, fun.
Yeah, it'll be real good.
Like that. Excited for you. You guys are going to have a blast.
Yeah. There's some Knuckles. There's Knuckles. WWE. Remember this?
Yeah, he was at NXT.
Yeah.
Right behind the announcer table. It's fantastic stuff. Be, yeah. Type of cross promotion that we need out here. 100%.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this Knuckles show, Greg.
I'm glad. I'm so stoked.
Excited.
I'm glad you're into it.
What bullshit are they going to have in it? A lot. I know.
A lot of bullshit.
But like, I hope that they do some like.
What I'm really excited for this weekend, show. Outside of the fun stuff with Jen, is finishing Fallout tonight.
Ooh.
We'll get two episodes in tonight. We'll finish it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be done with it.
That's great. A lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know what else is cool, everybody? Nick starting his Pokemon adventure. But that doesn't start right now. Right now, you get Kind of Funny Game Showdown. That's cool, too. But after that, you get Pokemon. Only on Twitch, remember. So if you want to watch that live, you got to go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. But if you want to just watch Game Showdown, you can hang out on Twitch, or you're going to have to jump over to a different YouTube link to watch that right about now, the Funk Soul Brother. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.